I thought I was too busy to watch them, but I started to watch and I couldn't stop. And one of the reasons is you saw so many, mostly Democratic senators, essentially not engaging on the fact that we have a chronic epidemic of children, of chronic disease in this country. And if you look at the federal deficit, it's bankrupting the country. Dr. Mark Skidmore just published a new study showing that if you went back to 2010 levels of disability, you'd save $500 billion a year on the federal budget. So whether you're worried about the deficit or you're worried about the fact that our children are essentially being poisoned, you know, there is a major problem. It's a human problem and it's a national security problem. Anyway, so you had senator after senator, instead of saying, you know, I don't like your plan for ending the chronic disease epidemic, here's my plan, they just attacked on, I have to say, mostly lies or mostly irrelevant information. It was appalling to watch, and many of them behaved in ways that said to me they weren't qualified to be a senator. It was, you know, you were watching several meltdowns both today and yesterday. And it was actually, Alex, as an American, it was humiliating. And so I have to tell you what I think is happening. I think that you have many senators who are terrified to have to admit to their constituents, if Kennedy does what he says he's going to do and cancels out the conflicts of interest at the health agencies and brings forward the transparency on many of the different pharmaceutical products, what is going to happen is the constituents are going to know that these senators authorized and funded the poisoning of their children, and their children are essentially badly maimed or disabled or sick because the senators went along with something that is absolutely inhuman. And I think they're terrified.
I think you're dead on. I think, because I watched yesterday and some this morning. That's what I said yesterday. I said they're completely panicked. They're totally scared. They're just throwing lies out. They're representing special interest. And they're blindly trying to ignore that we're the sickest country in the world, exponential. You go out in public, the children, half of them look like they're dying. And they are super sick, and they want to ignore this, which will bring down the system regardless because the numbers are there. It is already collapsing us, which is the Great Reset. So obviously the senators are just Muppets, puppets, but behind the scenes there is this Great Reset plan that you've been warning of for decades.
So they're more, I'm sorry, you're too kind, Alex. They're more than Muppets, because when you go along and you take taxpayers' money to pay yourself a very rich salary, and you go along with killing children, that's murder.
It is.
You can murder people with a pen. And one of the reasons I got thrown out of Washington is I refused to murder people with a pen. And I remember, you know, incident after incident where I was ordered to do something that would cause literally children to get sick and die, and I refused. You know, so
I call that administrative terrorism. What do you call it?
Murder. I call it murder. And you know, you can kill people with a pen. There's a great line from Woody Guthrie that some people kill people with a knife and some people kill with a gun and some people kill with a pen. But I call this murder. And frankly, you know, the reason that they've been able to go along to get along is that no one held them to account because the information was secret. And if information from CDC is made public and transparent, you know, that's where their story of I am good goes away. So do you remember my red button story?
Yes, but tell people again.
I'll tell it again. Okay, so I was giving a speech to a wonderful group of people who were having a conference on how they could help our society evolve spiritually. And a friend of mine had asked me to give them a presentation, which later became a very famous article called Narco Dollar to Beginner. And it was meant to be a light and funny description of the intersection of organized crime cash flows with Washington and Wall Street. And I was in the middle of the speech, and I was describing during the Dark Alliance allegations about intelligence agency drug dealing into South Central LA and then the spread across the country, There were hearings on the Dark Alliance allegations in 1998 in Congress. And during that period, a reporter that I was doing research for was told by the Department of Justice spokesperson that the U.S. economy launders $500 billion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money. So that's narcotics trafficking, that's human trafficking, that's illegal gambling, everything. So, and of course, that 500 to trillion, and it's a much bigger number now, because especially because of the financial fraud, made us the global leader in money laundering. So I said to this wonderful audience of spiritually evolved people, what would happen if we stopped being the global leader in money laundering? And so we had a little conversation, and they said, well, you know, if we stopped, we would, the stock market would go down, because that money would go to Singapore and Hong Kong and leave the U.S. stock market. And we'd have trouble financing the government deficit because we couldn't borrow the money. And our taxes might go up and our government checks might stop. And I said, okay, let's pretend there's a big red button up here on the lectern. And if you push that button, you can stop all hard narcotics trafficking in your neighborhood, your county, your state tomorrow, thus offending the people who control $500 billion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money and the accumulated capital thereon. And out of 100 people dedicated to evolving our society spiritually, only one would push the button. So I said to the other 99, why would you not push the button? And they said, we don't want our taxes to go up. We don't want our government checks to stop. And we don't want our IRAs and 401ks to go down in value. And that's what I call the red button problem. And there is a way to fix the red button problem. You can, you know, because you can't make money ultimately liquidating your society and targeting your children with drugs, whether they're legal or illegal.
Well, that's the thing.
Drugs,
you can. You can hand off the corruption to somebody else, but you're still part of it. And then it's going to destroy society anyway and destroy you in the end. So it's got to stop. And I thought about you last week, and thank God you came on. When I saw the New York Times article, I thought about your red button story from a decade ago or whenever it was, because there they are externalizing what you've been talking about forever. But they're actually defending the red button and saying we need to keep the drugs coming in or it'll hurt our economy. So they're now externalizing it.
Right. So there are two things to understand. Let's say, Trump walks into his Oval Office. He's the president. He's re-inaugurated. He's back in the Oval Office. He turns to his political guy and they're going to tell him everybody wants their check. So he's going to turn to the Secretary of Treasury, and the Secretary of Treasury is going to say, well, you got to be nice to the people who control half a trillion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money and the accumulated capital thereon, because everybody wants their check. So if the American public won't push the button, if you're in the Senate or the Congress, or you're in the White House, how are you going to push the button? We know in the last administration, coming into that administration in 2016, we knew one of the biggest problems in the federal government was $21 trillion was missing from DOD and HUD, and the Pentagon couldn't pass an audit. So what happens when Trump went in? Trump approved FASB 56, which is a policy that said we can take the government books dark. So he didn't address the $21 trillion. He didn't get the government back on legal financial management. You know, the federal government is way outside the laws on financial management, and they're just ignoring.
No, you're right. It got worse under Biden, but that's one of the failings of Trump.
No, it got worse under Trump. Excuse me. It got worse under Trump because he adopted in 2018, remember the Kavanaugh hearings? Both the Democrats and the Republicans and Trump together, you know, both sides of the House and the Senate and Trump together during the Kavanaugh hearings adopted FASB 56, which said a secret group of people by a secret process, undisclosed, could take whatever portion not only of the federal government's dark, but 150 related entities, as well as if you throw in the classification laws, the corporations as well. So
when I'm going to be clear, I was agreeing with you. What I'm saying is I was talking about the general debt. That Trump did accelerate the debt. You're talking about the specific policy of
no. He took the books dark along with the Republicans and Democrats. It was totally bipartisan, uniparty commitment. So he took the books dark.
So what are you seeing now from Trump?
Not a word. I what I'm seeing from Trump is a mixed bag. He's doing many steps to build the digital control grid. So he's promoting biometrics and digital ID with the immigration is what it looks like. He's building a basically data centers all over the country, along with mRNA vaccines, which are part of the Internet of Bodies. He's promoting a unbelievably inflationary explosion of crypto. He's talking about doing a Bitcoin reserve, which is insane because you're talking about taking taxpayers' money and putting it in a Ponzi scheme. At the same time, literally, you have vets on the street, you know, with who are homeless even after serving our country. And now we get an executive order basically trying to contradict the First Amendment. So you know, Trump seems to be participating in the multiple personality disorder that's going on in Washington, because there's continued push for the control grid. At the same time, he's doing some wonderful things for freedom. And, you know, but Doge goes in, and this is what is most frightening. Doge doesn't do anything or say anything about the $20 trillion missing from the Department of Defense or $1 trillion missing from HUD. What they say is they're going to go audit the IRS. Well, to my knowledge, the only reason you'd go into the IRS, I mean, if you want to get the $21 trillion back, you go to the New York Fed and the Treasury, and you look at where all those illegal transactions, where the money went, right? But they're not doing that. They're going to the IRS, and the IRS is basically, according to Yellen, taking the position that the American people owe $7 trillion and we can afford to have multiple wars because they're going to go collect all the money back. And I'm assuming Palantir used to have a big contract with the Department of Defense, with the IRS. And so I'm assuming they're going to use AI and software to gouge out another $7 trillion from us.
Well, we know that AI has been being used by the IRS illegally. And I think it's good to bring up things. I really respect your understanding of this, and I think it's good to have disclosure of this because it's you know, the truth's the truth. In general, cause this is all sophisticated. Where is the world economy? Where is the U.S. economy right now? And what would you like to see Trump do?
So we just published a new piece called "What the States Can Do." And it basically describes all the steps that a state or a state legislator or a governor can take to protect financial freedom. And if you read through that, it has many ideas the federal government could do. And we know that really powerful reform has happened, in fact, when the feds and the states get together and get a huge amount done. So, for example, we saw last year NAACS get killed by a group of the treasurers and AGs working with Congressman, with Congressman Massey and some of the other congressmen in the federal government. So you want to see that alignment. What I would love to see Trump do is the way to turn the red button green, the way to make money pushing the red button is to allow the economy to build on a decentralized basis. So let me give you an example. I always use the example when I was Assistant Secretary of Housing. I would find neighborhoods where HUD was spending $250,000 per unit to build public housing when we could buy and rehab a foreclosed property in the FHA foreclosed inventory for $50,000. So if you could move the money within a four-block area between different line items in the federal budget, you could get five homes for the price of one. I can't tell you how many neighborhoods in America there are where people are earning, they would kill for a job that earned $25, $30 an hour plus health care, but you're paying a corporate contractor in Washington $125 an hour, you know, to do that function, or you're outsourcing it into Asia in a way that you're paying people here in the United States not to work, but you're paying somebody.
What you're saying is total centralization. Let me bring up an example of that. Goodbye, Pacific Palisades. Hello, full communism. I don't even know if that's the right term for it. It's corporatism. LA to hire a consulting firm to oversee rebuilding of Pacific Palisades, and they're going to tell them what they can build. The same thing, high rises, and not let people even build what they want on their own property. So the opposite of decentralization, total centralization. What do you make of that?
So, you know, that we see examples all over the world where we've decided that, you know, if we want the land, we're just going to take it. Here we go. I mean, I think ultimately this is pretty obvious what's going on. you know, whether it was in Northern California or, you know, I was clear in 2017 when all the fires in Napa and then leading up to the Paradise Fire happened. I had hundreds of subscribers sending me very, very detailed descriptions of what they and their friends and family were experiencing. And it was clear, you know, this was whatever you want to call it, but this was intentional. This was man-made. This was not a natural event. And somebody was just moving in and basically re-engineering. So, you know, we have watched, you've heard me say many, many times, Alex, crime that pays is crime that stays. And unfortunately, we are looking at criminal operations, whether it's COVID was a criminal operation, you know, shutting down Main Street and then consolidating all the business into Wall Street in a way that creates 500 new billionaires. You know, whether it's burning down what happened in Lahaina, the question is, you know, who's doing this? Unfortunately, U.S. airspace is controlled by the Department of Defense, who is missing $20 trillion. So the question is, you know, was this done by the Department of Defense, their contractors, or did they let it happen? Why did they let it happen? I mean, I think there are many, many questions here, and those questions have to be asked. Interestingly enough, the president flew out to L.A., and came back, and if you look at how he described what he saw, it sounds to me, you know, he thought it was an operation. He said, boy, they got hit.
Absolutely, and I call administrative terrorism, I mean, perfectly, it wasn't incompetence, perfectly not doing fire breaks for decades, perfectly draining the reservoir for firefighting a month, 2 months before, perfectly not checking the fire hydrants because it would be a record that was no water, just right down the line and then declaring the emergency to direct the money, already having the 15-minute city BlackRock system coming in saying we're going to build anything we want now, eminent domain. I mean, we were predicting it. I said a couple years ago, I said, Lahaina, Maui, this is a beta test. You said that, and it goes on and on. Northern California, I mean, this is very strategic when you've got all this administrative control.
Well, here's the thing. This is a war. So David Hughes calls it omni-war. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. You ought to have him on. He's very good. But he calls it omni-war. It's the weaponization of everything. We are in a war. And, you know, and what we're seeing, people being stripped of their homes and their land and their finances. I'm just about to publish a big piece at Solari called Protecting Your Assets, Navigating the Financial Fraud Minefield. We are watching an epidemic of financial fraud, not just by criminals, but by insurance companies and corporations who are engaging with people on a criminal basis. So we saw when the United Health CEO was assassinated, there was a lot of coverage of what United Health was doing. And one of the things they were doing is they were getting legitimate claims and just rejecting a percentage of them and basically saying, you know, if you want your money, you have to get a lawyer and fight with us. And I just did a wonderful Solari report on car insurance with a great plaintiff attorney talking about how some of the insurance companies have just adopted policies where they're literally not going to pay and reject claims and make you spend, you know, months or years fighting to get your money because they can make more money.
And I talk to bankers now. It's worse than ever. It's not just conservatives people being debanked. All these companies that have had shopping carts and online businesses and things forever, or even, you know, brick and mortar, now the banks more and more are grabbing their money for a month, 6 months, a year, and saying, get a lawyer. And they do it to small enough groups that as soon as they get a lawyer and fight them, then they give it up. And most people don't have the money to do it. This is deliberate. Stay right there. I want to come back and talk about how we counter this. And again, a key point I'm going to make about this. We even said Northern California or richest parts of L.A. that have poor areas right next to it. Notice where these disasters are happening is right where the most expensive real estate is in key corridors. Again, only the globalists are so precise. We'll be right back. You don't get this information without supporting journalists and independent media that are delivering. The Rebel delivers it. Tucker Carlson delivers it. Elon Musk has the biggest megaphone. He supported Trump. He got in there. InfoWars needs your support. All right. We are winning. We are dominating. We're reaching over 100 million views a day just on X alone, 450 radio stations. But I'm fighting the Democrat Party law firm, the main one with Hillary and all of them, Aiken Gump, the ones that sued Trump, the ones that sued Giuliani, the ones they spent $326 million in federal filings 2 months ago in the last 7 years trying to shut me down. If I spent the time with the filings, the suits, the attacks, but we're now beating them on every front because I've got good lawyers and we're going after them. So that is the cost of us staying on air and fighting. Okay, we would have zero financial issues if we weren't spending 70% of the funds beating them. And if I had even more funds, we'd beat them quicker. So we're not selling bugs. We're selling concentrated known superfoods like Irish Sea Moss, the strongest out there. Incredible effects. The strongest turmeric formula with concentrate. The strongest you're going to get of not just turmeric, but of ginger, black pepper extract. It's an incredible thing, not just for your immune system and inflammation. My skin is glowing. Why am I so healthy? I'm gobbling these supplements. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And again, bugs are toxic. Their exoskeleton, chitin, is a known carcinogen. So there's a lot to this. Well, we need your support so we don't eat the bugs, literally. So we're fighting on every front. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's a big sale going that ends Monday right now. The 40% off on top of the sales. Become a VIP member for $30 a month. Cancel any time and get $40 a month to spend at the store. Plus special deals, special offers, and special products only available to VIP members. Everybody become a VIP member. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Funding the second American revolution and winning worldwide. It is administrative, corporate, governmental, omni-war, technocratic, economic warfare. The philosophy of the globalists is deindustrialization, post-industrial world. I've been highly supportive of Trump and Elon Musk because they say they're opposing that system and want an expansionary program. But the whole system is schizophrenic or multiple personality, whether you're with the globalist or you know, even what we see from the opposition, that it's all interconnected. So the globalists want to collapse things to consolidate it, but they're actually collapsing the world they're taking over. But they somehow think they're going to manage this decline and vertically integrate everything and then have this utopia on the other end. But Musk has told them, and I've said, you'll never get away with cutting off the resources. It'll cause wars. We've got all these nuclear weapons and other things. You'll blow the planet up. We need stability. We need education. We need health. We don't want to make everybody sick so you make money off of that and then everything collapses. And they go, well, there's just too many people. But if you don't at least keep the population where it is, you have societal collapse in every actuary. So it is insane. But the criminal method is still consolidating wealth. But if you look at the real world around us, the health and the intelligence of not just the general public, but the so-called elite children. I've looked at the numbers, and I've known people that know them, and I know them. I mean, you look at these billionaires and these globalist kids. I mean, almost all of them are totally insane. Devil worshippers, transgender, suicide, total psychotics. I mean, they have horrible children. And so I really judge people about how many kids they got. Are the kids healthy? What do they look like? Because if you don't have that, you got an issue. And most of the globalists in Europe don't even have children. Almost all the leaders there. I'm not telling people that don't have children. All of you can't have them. I understand that. My mother couldn't have kids after me and wanted to have more. I'm saying, though, they choose that. And when they do have kids, it's a nightmare. I mean, almost all of them. I mean, look at Alexander Soros. I mean, so I'm ranting here. But if you look, and we did the interviews. People dug it up when they had the Maui fire. And I had all these experts on. And we said, what's the next place they'll hit? Oh, probably L.A. And people said, oh, Palisades, that's the most expensive real estate next to a bunch of working class that won't sell. They'll burn it down by administrative warfare and murder, and then they'll come in and declare an emergency and eminent domain and give it to one company. And then that's what they've done within 2.5 weeks. I mean, they already had it all lined up and ready. So, Catherine, I mean, we can pick the places. I've seen you on other shows and on my show years ago explaining this rollout and how we even got the documents. And then you went further where Alexander Soros got caught like 10 years ago and a guy's brother went to prison. So he goes into his apartment and he's an Antifa leader. Well, he was a professor. We got those secret documents. And it was Alexander Soros running Antifa nationwide. This is under Obama. And how they would target how to go get the black crowd to attack, how they would then direct them on a list of what buildings to burn. And, of course, the inner city crowd didn't know, but they even had a list of what to burn in a financial scheme and how they lay layer after layer of the fraud in. I mean, these are extremely professional criminal groups. And then they've got incompetence at the low-level government level, so they have even no idea right. What's going
Alex,
on.
You know, the U.S. intelligence agencies have extraordinary surveillance devices and extraordinary ability to track every dollar in the economy. So all of these operations, whether they require planes flying around in the sky or money going from here to there, or contracts being let and implemented and paid. You know, it is known who and what is doing this. This is not, you know, this is not secret, because it goes on the train tracks of yes, highly controlled digital technology.
Well, here's a microcosm, then I'll shut up, because I want you to go deep into whatever you want to go to next. It's all fascinating. All of these modern cars have tracker systems by law in them. Biden made it the law, but it was theirs, you know, for decades, especially nicer cars. Now it's everything. And that's not old. Literally any company that wanted to, or the government that wanted to, or bad actors that could get in, could give an order to all, pick the electric car company, to give it an order to order the batteries to go through a certain procedure where they will all melt and explode. So that's just a microcosm of the technocrat power that is just one right point in this that would cause nationwide shutdown, that one move.
Right. Right, but let's go back to what Trump can do and what we can do, because there is a huge amount we can do. You know, what we can't do is we can't say, oh, we're going to get Trump elected, or we're going to get Bobby into HHS, and that's going to solve the problem. No, this is trench warfare. You have to fight this. You know, I told somebody the other day, if Bobby gets into HHS, you know, that's just pulling into the starting gate. We're an army, and we have to fight with him every day, day in, day out, for the next 4 years. That's how it works. It's trench warfare. But there's a huge amount you can do. The first thing the federal government can do is they can bring transparency to how the federal money works place by place. Because, you know, yes, you have a small handful of people centralizing wealth, but as they centralize it, they shrink it. And a lot of that is working through the federal budget. And if we can see what is happening with the federal money, with the appropriations, with the credit and the regulations in our county and neighborhood, in the world that we walk around and see, we can shift the money, because a lot of the money is being spent or used illegally. We can shift that. One of the things Trump can do right away is rescind FASB 56. It's administrative policy, but it is creating incredible secrecy and darkness, which is very, very, very dangerous. The other thing he can do is, it's fine to encourage digital technology, but we need to encourage analog technology, because if we go to an all digital monetary system, we're talking about a digital concentration camp. And if you combine an all digital monetary system with the kind of data centers and mRNA tech, you know, Internet of Bodies technology he's talking about, you're talking about a slavery system. So there's a great deal that Trump can do to encourage analog systems, including cash. We just saw the Norwegian Central Bank come out and say, you know, we're down to 3% cash in Norway. That was a mistake. If you look at what is happening in all these disasters around the world, people who have cash are okay. We need to take cash back. And so, in fact, they're going to do everything they can to encourage the use of cash. There's a great many things. If you look at our presentation on what the states could do, you know, there's a great amount that could do. Now, the other thing Trump can do, and this has happened before and it can happen again, if you look at the disclosure, if we were to map out all the federal money in your neighborhood or your county and map out the credit, map out the appropriations, map out the loans, map out all the different cash and credit flows, what we would see is there's tremendous opportunity to re-engineer them in a way that create explosive new wealth, particularly because when you combine lots of new technology with healthy small enterprise and small farms, there's incredible opportunity, including to build new regenerative farms that feed people healthy food instead of making them sick. So that opportunity is there, but what it will require is the federal government being exceptionally liberal about allowing local government and state government to change the rules and all the terms and conditions.
Absolutely.
That come
so with Trump needs
money
to have a massive decentralization project. And everything you just said is backed up in reality. The UN, Bill Gates, all of them already have a global centralized database. They want to use the vaccine passport as the pretext, or internet IDs to protect kids. You see conservatives right being manipulated in Texas to try to put it in, liberals pushing it to, quote, stop hate. But at the end of the day, it is about decentralized, tokenized controls. That is their ring of Sauron. If they get that, if we think that accelerated centralization and shrinking of the pie has been bad yet, we've seen nothing.
So here's the real test. because you have the states telling people that, you know, when you get your driver's license, you get a little gold star on it, and that's what makes it a real ID. And the states are trying to force the real ID down to everybody's throat, and they're telling them, if you don't get the real ID, you won't be able to fly after March. Okay? And basically that the law in the nation is you can't travel unless you get the digital ID. Trump can roll that back like that.
And we hear this thing, oh, it's to stop illegal aliens. No, they're allowed to fly so far where they're not even really having real ID. So they always use that as a pretext, but it's really for us. So the noose digitally is closing. It needs to be a prime move to educate Trump. So if I talk to Trump, let's say tomorrow,
right,
or let's say 2 weeks from now.
Tell him to roll back the real ID. We do not need yellow stars on our driver's license. And we do not need to force the states to implement a digital ID, which can be, you know, made interoperable and plug into
the
global system.
Sure, well, he understands central bank digital currencies are bad because he doesn't want that because he likes Bitcoin. And so that's, you know, good at one level. But you're absolutely right.
But here's the thing.
Explain it to him, though, is that...
If you do an all-digital system with private crypto and you turn that into a private CBDC, that will be worse. At least the Fed has constitutional obligations to the Congress and the American people as under the jurisdiction of the people's representatives. So, you know, it's great to outlaw a CBDC by the central bank, but if you allow a private, the equivalent of a CBDC, an all-digital monetary system with a digital ID controlled secretly by secret private companies.
No, I totally agree with this. What I'm saying is, how do I communicate that to Trump?
Tell Trump we do not want an all-digital monetary system, and we do not want a national ID, let alone a national ID that can plug into Gavi and the Bill Gates and global system. So
the way to sell him on that is saying it's the key to this central bank digital currency. That's government, but we also need to be concerned about a private currency that has the same thing.
The problem is an all digital system. What you want Trump to do is to protect cash and protect the analog system. Right now, you have a group of people in Switzerland putting together a referendum that says they have a right to a non-digital life. They can't be forced into interacting with the government with digital systems. And that's what you want. Americans should have the right to a non-digital life, and they should have enough in cash and checks and analog in the system. So if there's a disaster, they're okay, and they can't be controlled centrally.
Exactly. We need multiple pillars. We need multiple tiers. We need decentralization. And everybody knows in the new 10 years ago, Battlestar Galactica, it's a fiction, but all the new, you know, defense ships are AI. Well, the aliens are computers. They take it over. The one ship that's able to survive and fight was still analog. But think about real hackers, real problems, real governments, real corrupt corporations. They all want this one global AI-run system. It is essential to have organic analog backups of everything.
Right. So if you look at what Trump has rolled out so far, it's clear that he wants a nationally controlled system. But I will tell you, if he puts into place a nationally controlled digital ID and private crypto, I assure you, once Trump leaves office, you know, it will be, and it will end up being controlled from Basel, Switzerland. I got news for you. Or the Bank of England, whatever.
Well, we've already seen big central banks say they're gonna choose whatever the best private currency is and just make it the government.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Now, they don't want to do that until the Fed gets out of the constitutional control of Congress. So I predict over the next year, you'll see the Fed try and break free of the Constitution. You know, they've done everything they can to bring down the Constitution. Remember, we don't have a financial problem. We have a legal problem. And part of it is we have a group of people who are acting above the law with impunity. But the other thing is we're not enforcing the Constitution. We don't need new laws in this country. We simply need to enforce the Constitution. We have a framework of governance, which is the finest framework of governance anybody's ever created on the planet.
Sure.
And it's precious. And many Americans do not understand how valuable it is and all the blessings that we've had that come from it. And they'll understand if they lose it, but let's not test that. I don't, I for one don't want to, you know, show my appreciation that way. And that's why anything you can do in your state to stop the adoption of a constitutional convention, because if we have a constitutional convention, that's where we'll all get together and tear it up. And the next thing you know, animals will have as many rights as your kids.
Absolutely. Let me try to quantify this big picture and see if you agree. I think you will, but then add to it. We're in the middle of a global awakening. People know they've been enslaved. They know things are wrong. They don't know all the answers, but they're awake. They're starting to now process things that they've come out of this deep sleep. And that's explosive and historic and the fourth turning. But that could be misdirected into some other forms of tyranny. And these big interests are running things on multiple paths. And so this is the time to be really informed and really engaged and learning about decentralization at every single level and informing Trump.
Right. Right. Here's the important thing to remember. I don't care what you care about, whether you care about health, whether you care about the environment, what you care. If central control is established through financial transactions with a digital ID and an all-digital monetary system, and it doesn't matter whether it's all-digital controlled privately, all-digital controlled by the central bank, if it is an all-digital system and they can combine it with a social credit system because they've got a digital ID and an all-digital monetary system, suddenly they can control everything. So if they say, oh, we're going to lock down and you can't leave, you know, you can't go more than 5 miles from your house, your money won't work more than 5 miles from your house. If they say you can't buy pizza, your money won't work. If they say your kids suddenly have to go to a government school 100 miles away and they're taking them, you know, if you don't do what they say, they turn off your money. It's complete control. It's a digital concentration camp. And that can, and that's why you cannot allow an all digital monetary system with a digital ID.
And the holy grail of these big globalist bankers is total control, surveillance. They can make the money worth more, less, absolutely penalize people, make you only buy things from companies and groups they want. It is total enslavement. It is the ring of Mordor. Right. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them.
Well, here's the thing, Alex. Throughout the history, I've studied investment from the beginning of time. You know, I've looked for everything I can find on investment throughout the ages. And there's no doubt in my mind that the single most profitable business in the history of the world is slavery. And if you look at the last time we canceled the slave trade, there were two reasons we canceled the slave trade, and digital technology solved those problems. And, you know, it's hard for people who've grown up with the blessing of freedom to understand that this is a possibility or anybody would want to do anything this psychopathic. But the reality is they would, and they're doing it.
Well, the reason I read that quote from J.R.R. Tolkien, that was really a great historian and linguist who put a composite of how tyranny, you know, had worked in the past and how he would put it into this cosmology to educate people in the future. I mean, I've read his writings, his nonfiction on that. Really a great mind. Sauron's acting like he's a good guy, and he's this, you know, basically angel character, Lucifer character, but we don't know he's the devil yet. And he creates these wonderful rings with these wonderful gifts and gets all the different, you know, other angelic figures to take them, and also the men and others. And they don't understand, though, that he's forging a one that controls them as well. And so they give us all these Trojan horses and roll out all these systems, and then we adopt them, but there's that one ring that's been forged, and that's... that's any type of one central AI-controlled currency.
Right. Right. Now, it's very interesting. You know, the competition on AI between China and the U.S. now has kind of opened up because the Chinese have been coming out with an open source model, and it's kind of thrown, you know, it's funny. They had a very good person trying to implement antitrust policy during Biden. And as she walked out the door, she said, you know, we're not doing anybody any favors by encouraging these tech companies to be monopolies because they're going to get essentially, is not her words, but I'd say fat and happy. And sure enough, you know, wasn't a week or two later that we see Deep Six come out and reshuffle the whole deck. So I don't know. We'll see. If you look at the history of freedom, what you'll find is just at the darkest hour when it looks hopeless, you know, the cards get thrown up in the air and freedom sneaks through.
Exactly. And I don't want to lionize Xi Jinping and the Communist Chinese. They certainly are pretty dark. But imagine the West is building an evil centralized system for total control. And they go, oh, here, decentralize, because that's the weapon that would defeat centralization.
Well, but if you look at the Chinese, both the Chinese and a group in the West are building total control. And if you go back to the G20 meeting in 2024 in September, you had India, China, the U.S., you know, and the whole world commit fealty to the BIS system of digital IDs and CBDCs. So they all seem to be on board. They're just bickering about whether the globalists control it or the nationalists control it. But if you look at what happened with DeepSeek, it's, yes, part of this is a combination or a competition between U.S. and China, but I also think you have, at this point, millions of unbelievably talented engineers the world over who don't want to be controlled. And
there's,
you know,
a good chance the Communist Party didn't even realize what they created or what people had that they controlled.
Right. So if you look at the guy who created DeepSeek, he started a hedge fund and he took all his profits and built DeepSeek on the side, you know, and then sent it out open source. So that's why I think we are in a period where, if you look at what Trump is doing, he's trying to figure out a way to get the dollar system to rebalance and make economic sense, you know, which is what needs to be done. So he's immediately pushing to try and figure out how to do that. But at the same time, that and the nature of the change in the dollar system is triggering deglobalization. And that's going to throw a lot of cards up in the air, good and bad. And, you know, if there's anything your listeners and I need to be prepared for, it's we get ready to rock and roll, because the changes are going to be dazzling and they're out of control. You can't.
Exactly.
You know, Trump can't control them. No one can control them. The best he can do is surf the wave and try to take things in a positive direction. And that's what we all have to help him. So he's being lobbied by people who want this, you know, so Bill Gates is getting in there and lobbying, and we have to get in there. This war is trench warfare, and the campaign isn't over. Right. Larry Ellison. Oh, Defense Contractors 2.0.
Listen, we can do a commercial-free podcast sometime. I know you're very busy. You're one of the smartest people I know. You're just amazing work. And we need to get you. We need to get Trump talking to you.
I'm happy to talk to Trump. He's got, you know, here's the thing. If you look at, he's got his hands full, because you've got to re-engineer the entire global dollar system. At the same time, you've got to deal with all the domestic issues. You know, the least, in terms of the deficit, the most important, he's got to end the chronic disease epidemic, or else we're going to go bankrupt as a nation.